I've got to pause my, whoops. I'm going to pause some syncing going on here. I've got OneDrive syncing.
Well, no, I could say that, you know what, did you drop something in there about 5 hours ago? This is the Microsoft Cloud Show, episode 39. In this episode, we're going to talk about some of the news that came out of the Worldwide Partner Conference recently, as well as some other related cloud news. Recorded live, July 24th.
Welcome to the Microsoft Cloud Show, the only place to stay up to date on everything going on in the Microsoft Cloud world, including Windows Azure, Office 365, SharePoint, Exchange, Link, and related technologies. Just the information, no marketing, no BS. I'm Andrew Connell.
And I'm Chris Johnson.
And we're just two dudes telling you how we see it.
How's it going, CJ?
Very good, my friend. Very good. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I am I'm right side up. You are, I think you're upside down today, aren't you?
Yeah, I feel like that. I'm down in the southern hemisphere, which I guess technically means I'm upside down. Or are you upside down? That is the question.
Well, my toilet's flushed the right way. How about yours?
My toilet's flushed the other way. Yeah, you know, we had, I'm down here for the New Zealand SharePoint conference, which was the last couple of days. And there are a few folks from the US down, including Mark Anderson, Christina Wheeler, and so forth. And they're all having great joy in telling me how interesting, you know, things like the water going the other way was, and some other intricacies of the Southern Hemisphere.
That's quite a long trip to see if the toilet flushes the other way from where it does, from where you normally are.
Oh yeah, and they were taking great delight in telling me the intricacies of New Zealand as well. So, they had a lot of fun.
So they were making sure to, just because you've never been there, right?
Making sure that, yeah, I guess so. I've never been here. I haven't spent much time here before at all. No.
You picked up that accent just from flying Air New Zealand a bunch, huh?
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, I'm it was actually Flight of the Conchords that were my inspiration.
So what's been up with you aside from the conference? What you been up to lately?
Yeah, that's been this week. Last week I was at WPC in Washington, D.C. So that's the big Microsoft Worldwide Partner Conference that they have once a year. And that was great. That was pretty much the full week, but it was crazy busy. I met with loads of ISVs and partners and people looking to build stuff on Office 365. And I did a session there as well. And then I flew back to Seattle for, I think, what felt only like 24 hours, but I think it was actually 36, and then flew to New Zealand. So it's been all around the world, really.
And you jump on a plane tonight and head back to the US?
Yeah, I do. I get it's 9 a.m. here in New Zealand, and tonight I jump on a plane and head back home, which will be very nice to be home. How about you?
Well, it's 5 p.m. here in Florida, so I should be having a cocktail next to me while we're doing this, but I think it would be a little awkward if I was doing that and you were not. So,
hey, I could go get a cocktail too.
It's all good, right? It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, things are good. I guess I haven't been working a whole lot because I was on vacation last week, sitting on a beach doing absolutely nothing, staying offline as much as possible. I did not check my inbox more than 3 times the entire week, and I did not respond to a single work email.
Wow, that's exactly how I feel I've been over the last 2 weeks as well.
Except you've been working.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, it was good. I was actually with the in-laws on a beach in North Carolina, and then for a week, and then drove to the opposite side of North Carolina in the mountains to drop my son off at camp, and back home, and then I turn around and go back late next week. I guess I go back on vacation again for about 4 or 5 days to go pick him up and spend some time in the mountains and with my family, and then come back to reality and get back to work. So
yeah,
it's been a lot of vacation time, but also doing trying to wrap up one or two projects, and but nothing too crazy. I'm getting off on a little kick of on a fun project or a fun series of projects that we should do a geek out on later, but it's got absolutely nothing to do with work. I guess it has a little bit of stuff to do with work, but it has nothing to do with SharePoint, nothing to do with the well, it has something to do with the cloud, nothing to do with Office 365, and it's a complete geek fest. So I have to follow up on that.
Cool. So yeah, I spent last week at WPC. So should we go through a bit of the news?
Absolutely. Yeah. So we got a bunch of stuff that that Microsoft did come out with and talk about at WPC. So we wanted to run through a lot of these news bits, news bites that came out here. You were there. I was offline most of the week. So I'm gonna kind of let you kind of explain some of these things that came out of it. And then we got some, I guess, big news around the SharePoint space too that came out earlier in the week this week. So I'll let you kick it off here.
Yeah, no, sounds good. So I think probably the first thing we should talk through is a little bit of the Office 365 news. There was tons and tons of Azure news. And so we'll go back and forth on some of those items. But why don't we kick it off with some O365 news?
Sounds good. I saw you guys announce something about some new plans for small and medium-sized businesses.
Yeah, very exciting. So this was some, yeah, like you said, new plans for small and medium-sized businesses. There's basically three new SKUs starting in, I think it's October, maybe October the 1st, I think these come out, that are plans pretty much targeted at SMBs, so sort of the small end of the market, below 250 seats. So from, you know, from one employee all the way up to 250. The first one is Office 365 Business. The other one is Office 365 Business Essentials, and the third one is Office 365 Business Premium.
So what can you say about the differences between these? I was a little confused about some of the existing plans that were there, and then the new ones are pretty clear, but how do they differ from what's already out there?
Well, I think there's going to be some rationalization of plans too. So I think it'll become a little clearer. And these will basically take over as the kind of the go-to plans for SMB.
Okay.
So for 365 for Business, you get the full Office apps. So you get the client applications, you get the terabyte of OneDrive storage, so you can share documents and all that sort of stuff. Business Essentials, you get all of the sort of the core cloud Office 365 services. So you get, you know, email for calendaring and, you know, sending, you know, obviously sending email, all that sort of stuff. You get the web version of Office, so Office Online, so you can edit and view documents and all that sort of stuff there. You get Link for meetings and IM, video conferencing, and things like that. And then Business Premium, so the third SKU, is you basically get everything from the first two. So you get the full Office client applications, you get all the OneDrive storage, and you also get all the cloud services like Exchange and Link and SharePoint and so forth.
I see. So if you went with the Business or the Essentials one, then you were going to be getting, it was kind of an either or thing. There was only, I think it was only the OneDrive for Business with the 1 terabyte sync. That was the only thing that was a crossover between the two, but you could choose one or the other. And then the third plan is just saying, okay, you get it all. You don't have to buy each one individually. You can get it all and save like $1 a month or something.
Yeah, I think so. So Office 365 Business, that sort of feels like the equivalent business SKU from Office 365 Personal, which is your personal, you know, for home use type thing. And in that, you just get the Office client applications. And so Office 365 Business is kind of the business version of that SKU. You get the client applications.
Hmm. Very cool. That makes sense.
Yeah,
I think it's a lot easier to understand for customers.
Exactly. Yeah, I think it'll tidy things up nicely, and I think there'll be some. It just makes it easier to understand SKU strategy.
Cool. Very cool.
Hey, so something else that was talked about at WPC was a new thing called the Cloud Solution Provider Program. And I'm just going to read a little blurb here. It says the Cloud Solution Provider Program assigns partners the responsibility to engage customers directly, but more importantly, to manage all the customer activities, including billing, provisioning, and support for Windows Intune and Office 365 subscriptions, and eventually Azure. So this is a new program that basically lets partner organizations sell a customer Windows Intune and Office 365 currently, and eventually Azure, and deal with all of the billing and the support and the activities on that account. So they can provision the tenancies, they can manage the billing for the customer. The customer never gets a bill from Microsoft. The partner can, you know, bill the customer, and then Microsoft bills the partner. But then they also are sort of first line support as well, so that, you know, they've got that direct relationship with the customer.
Interesting.
Yeah. So in the past, this was kind of tricky because either the customer had to go buy Office 365 and then go to the partner, and then the partner would help them with it. But ultimately, the partner wasn't recognized as kind of like the owner of that tenancy. The customer was. So the customer got billed. They were responsible for logging support calls and all that sort of stuff. And this really sort of puts the partner in the driver's seat for that direct customer relationship management.
So giving them the opportunity to kind of sit between the direct end user and Microsoft providing the service, but they can actually do their own value add support and stuff like that on top of it.
Exactly. And there's been so the interesting part here is this is kind of a new program, but there's an existing one that's much smaller in terms of number of partners involved. It's what they call a syndication program, which is for companies or for big telcos and so forth around the world that are reselling Office 365 services. But that was, you know, a handful or two of organizations that could do that. It was a hugely expensive program to be involved in. And so this is really kind of the next step of that and making it available to a much wider range of partners in a much more streamlined and manageable fashion.
Hmm. Interesting.
I think it'll be really important for a whole bunch of partners that want to be that direct relationship with the customer. You know, so that, you know, that could range from companies or partners dealing with small and medium business where, you know, they go in and they do their phones and their networking and they're going to get their do their email and all that sort of stuff as well, and having them be the sort of the conduit for the customer is something that's really important to them.
Very cool. So around the Office 365 side too, I saw a little bit of news here around CRM online for government customers. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. So there's been, you know, for a while there's been this government cloud, right, or the Microsoft government cloud, which has included Azure and Office 365. And so at WPC there was an announcement about CRM online coming to that government, to those government customers as well. Mm. And I think that'll happen sort of early next calendar year was the time frame.
Mm. So, and this is a separate cloud that is not part. It's essentially Azure and it's essentially Office 365, but it's just not in the same place where like private companies and everybody else. What you generally see at Azure.com, this is a separate thing that's got special kind of regulations around it and special monitoring, but it's met certain what do you call them? Like specifications or compliance things specifically for government, like, U.S. government.
Yeah, like the FedRAMP. The FedRAMP standards, or I think that's the right word, around compliance. It's operated by U.S. citizens. There's no commingling of data between, non-government and government customers and things. So,
gotcha.
Meets those standards, but it's only a U.S. government. It's a U.S. government thing for now.
I see. So, U.S. government is the only customer. Another government could not jump in there and do their own, and be involved in it as well. Correct.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay.
So this is obviously important for government customers being able to adopt the cloud and make sure that, you know, they're not breaking any rules.
Gotcha. Mm. Got any other Office 365 stuff that was noteworthy to call out?
Those were the biggies at WPC. There's a ton of Azure stuff we should go through though, and we've got a nice long list. So we should probably get stuck into that.
Yeah, we definitely do. I did see one just so I can have an excuse to play our sound again. But jumping into the cloud price wars, I did see that one of the things that Microsoft did is they did say with the blob storage pricing, the numbers have gotten so low, the prices have gotten so low that they've actually now extended it to where they are now charging. They're now going to a precision of 4 decimal points instead of just 2 decimal points and rounding up or rounding down. So we're getting so crazy on how cheap everything is with storage in the cloud that we're now down to 4 decimal points. So
does that mean the price drops are slowing down? Do you think? Do you think now they're differentiating at the third or fourth decimal point instead of the first or the second?
Well, I mean, you definitely see that for the pricing for all the different providers, right? I see that on the AWS side. I see it on the Azure side, but it's always kind of been, you know, a rounding thing when it comes down to the billing. I guess the part that confuses me a little bit on it is that if we're now going to go down to 4 decimals, then are you going to charge me at the 4 decimal level? Because isn't it still going to get rounded to 2 decimals when the bill actually hits my company card or my invoice?
Yeah, goodness knows.
I don't know. Somebody in finance in a big Fortune 500 is up there chopping pennies, so we'll see.
Hey, it might mean big bucks to some folks, right? So
that's true. Oh, no, it definitely can add up. I mean, it's definitely going to make a difference. So interesting, though. But
yeah. Hey, so one other thing I saw, one other piece of Azure news I think was really interesting that I saw in the keynote, it was announced at WPC, was a new program called the Microsoft Azure Certified Program. Azure Certified.
Yeah, I saw this. I didn't pick up on what this was.
So for now, my understanding is that organizations will be able to package virtual machines and go through a set of certification criteria, so to speak, and then get listed in the the management portal and so forth. The customers can then go deploy that partner's solution in virtual machines in a packaged manner very easily and with a bit of confidence. So the early program partners, the launch partners that they talked about were companies like Oracle, SAP, Bitnami, Riverbed Technologies, Barracuda, and Azul Systems. So for example, Riverbed and Barracuda, they do things around traffic management and security appliances. And so they have software-based versions of that program or solution, and you can deploy it in a virtual machine inside of Azure. And so what they're saying is now that they've got the certified program, that Microsoft will put it through a series of criteria and make sure it meets all the right checks and balances and that's going to work right, and then the customers can go deploy it in Azure with a bit of confidence.
That's interesting. I didn't realize that that's what that was. That's kind of nice, because then you turn into being almost you're your own reseller in a sense.
Yeah, and so I think the benefit to the partner of going through this is that they'll then join a list of listed partners in the Azure portal, and so all the Azure customers will see their solutions as being sort of the best in class in Azure.
Interesting.
Yeah, I think it's it's obviously possible to go deploy stuff in VMs today, but I think this is really beneficial to partners that want to get their products out there to all those Azure customers.
Yeah, it definitely is going to make it a lot easier for them, and you don't have to have a lot of extra stuff that you've got to go stand up or you got to go through and configure. I mean, everything is already going to be, you can have a pre-stamped VM in a sense, and just let people just kind of run with that instead of having to deal with all the other setup stuff.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. So on the other, some of the other Azure stuff that I did see is a lot of stuff went from either expanding the previews or from taking it something from a public preview over to general availability. So I saw things like the machine learning, this new thing that using the cloud for doing some really, really big research stuff. There's a really good episode, the most recent episode of the Azure podcast. They talked about a little bit of machine learning and how the code works in it and how customers can take advantage of it. This was a private preview, and now it's opened into a public preview for doing big data modeling with advanced data analytics. So I saw that one was, and then I also saw...
Yeah, it was a very cool demo in the keynote about machine learning and sort of the way they described it was pretty clever, because I don't know much about this stuff. And the way they kind of described it was, instead of looking at data in the past and seeing things that have already happened, that being able to use data and see things that are about to happen.
Yeah, a little more insights, because you get more real-time stuff that you can act on that always required, very large, significant computing powers, and you can take advantage of that in the cloud.
Yeah, they talked about the demo, or at least one of the case studies they talked about was a company that builds elevators, or lifts, as we say in this part of the world. And they were saying, they're able to predict, better mean time to failure of parts and so forth. So they can, in advance, send out, technicians to go and fix a elevator before it's broken.
Wow.
Yeah. So basically you end up with less elevator downtime, more costly emergency repairs and you're on the front foot as opposed to being on the back foot.
Oh, that's interesting. I went and looked at the AWS side to see if they had a competing product offering. And I couldn't find one of all the different things. So maybe one of our listeners, if they're familiar with it, they can let us know. Or this might be something that is just an Azure, something that Microsoft innovated on and that we maybe will see come out of the AWS side or the Google side sometime down the road.
Yeah, yeah.
A differentiator at the moment.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I did also see that the Event Hub, which is used for like real-time streaming for if you've got millions and millions of clients that need to get live data, that streaming that data, that there's this Microsoft has a thing in Azure called the Event Hub. They have expanded it to a public preview. It was more of a private preview up into WPC. But what they announced last week or at WPC was that now the Event Hubs are in public preview as well.
Very cool. Azure seems to just, they're just continuing to fire on all four cylinders, and maybe they're even up to a V8 now. But they seem to be rocking along, and things like this coming out of preview and new things coming into preview and stuff, they're just smashing it.
Yeah, totally agree.
Hey, on more of a SharePointy kind of note, there's some new IaaS functionality or infrastructure as a service in Azure that was announced, and it was actually demoed in the WPC keynote by Scott Guthrie, which I found really interesting. A, because he was talking about SharePoint, and B, because it was SharePoint in IaaS. So it's basically a SharePoint farm as you would deploy on prem in many ways, but deployed into infrastructure as a service in Azure.
Mm.
And so what they announced is the ability to, they call it like a single click SharePoint deployment, but in actual, it's a couple more clicks than just a single click. But in reality, it's the ability to deploy a SharePoint farm in one of two different varieties into IaaS and have it all scripted and built and ready to go for you. And so you basically get to pick between like a high availability version of this and a less available version, right? So it's either a larger infrastructure that will survive some different types of failure, so it's got duplicate web front ends and so forth to deal with that, and it has like a SQL, duplicate SQL boxes on the back, or you can pick the sort of the scaled down version, which is sort of more of a single box in each of the tiers type thing.
Is this something where they've stamped out a farm and said this is not one that I could take advantage of in terms of So this is not something that I could go through and provide my specs of, I want my SharePoint environment to look like this. I want these servers. I want these services on these different servers and stuff like that. Or is this we at Azure have come up with a high availability version and one that is a little bit more, one's a little bit more like standalone, more of like a dev test build kind of and playground kind of an environment. We've come up with these two different environments here, and you can pick from either one of them to spin up a SharePoint farm without having for you to go through the entire configuration and stand up process. Is it more of that, or is it one that I can go through and say a la carte?
No, you're right on there. So it's pre-canned or pre-baked topologies that you get to deploy, and you only get really those two choices currently. In actual fact, our friend Bill Bayer has worked on this, so we should get him back on the show sometime and talk about it. But it's basically these two choices you can pick from and deploy either the sort of the lower scale farm or the more highly available farm topology, and stamp it out into your environment. And you get all the VMs set up, all the networking set up, and everything deployed and ready to go.
Yeah, that's really cool. It's for our listeners actually who are interested in doing something like this. Aside from this new feature, this new offering that Microsoft has in Azure, we're actually going to have a future episode coming up in the next few episodes with someone who's done a lot of work around creating SharePoint farms in Azure, in IaaS. And so we're going to have a nice long full episode discussion on the pitfalls, the advantages, the disadvantages, the things that you can do to make it a little bit faster and when it makes sense and those kinds of things. So we'll have that coming out soon. So just keep an eye out for a future episode for that.
Yeah, excellent.
Yeah. I did also see that Microsoft also did add a couple new regions, specifically two new regions for Azure. One is in U.S. Central. I believe it's actually physically in Iowa. So that's one new region that came online. And then there's another region that's called USA or U.S. East 2. Now, I haven't seen this in the option just yet, but I believe it's another data center that is showing that has come online in the Virginia area.
Interesting. So more sort of geographic data centers or regions being added.
Yeah, I mean that comes on the heels of what we got one in Brazil just recently and another one in China. So that's they're scaling like crazy. And plus, if anybody pays attention to the financial stuff, financial reports for the companies, this is the season now when everyone's doing their quarterly reports. And I know Microsoft announced theirs just recently, and you could see where the driver for revenue coming from Microsoft, the growth area is in the Azure, in the cloud space. They are clicking on all cylinders on Azure. So it's no surprise that they're, investing in more data centers and such.
I saw, I can't really quote him because I'm going to get the numbers wrong. But in the WPC keynote, one of the presenters, and I forget who he was now, or which one it was, I should say, talked about the number of regions that Azure offer versus the number of regions that AWS offer. And it was pretty interesting and quite different in that, I don't know I can't remember what the numbers actually were, so I should dig those up and maybe we should talk about it in the next show. But at least we'll put it in the show notes. But yeah, it was basically that Azure was available in a whole ton more regions. So you can get data closer to you, and so forth, than AWS was, that was news to me. I thought it was pretty interesting.
That's interesting. Yeah, that's really interesting. There's things that there are data centers that Microsoft offers or regions that Microsoft offers that AWS does not have. The two big ones that I'm aware of is the one in Brazil, and then there's the one in China that apparently I think that Microsoft is the only cloud provider among like the big three, among Google and AWS and Microsoft. They're the only ones that have a data center that's dedicated just to China, that's in China. So that's that's a big deal.
Yeah, definitely. There's Azure there, and there's Office 365 as well.
Yeah,
in China specifically.
I'm not sure if Rackspace has a data center in China. Hopefully one of the Rackspace guys that is listening, maybe they can chime in on the comments for the show, but I'm not sure if they've got one, but Microsoft definitely does.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, so speaking of moving on to a little bit of hybrid news, for those folks who are dealing with the cloud and on-premises deployments, some time back, Microsoft made an acquisition of a product or a company called StorSimple, which was building appliances that you can put on-premises and storage arrays. So sort of like a SAN or a NAS or, I'm not an infrastructure guy, so something you stick files in. that's the extent of my infrastructure experience. So you put these appliances on-prem, and you could save stuff to them. And behind the scenes, it would deal with basically giving you infinite storage, or at least really, really high-scale storage, by offloading content and files and things to Azure Blob Storage. So, you start saving files to it and things, and then behind the scenes, StorSimple is moving the data between your on-prem appliance or array and online, which I thought was really, really cool. But that's been out for a while, but there's a couple of new appliances that have come out, I believe, these hybrid storage arrays for on-premises customers.
That's really cool. It's amazing to me that you have the ability to take. I know that they have a product where they can have Hyper-Vs, Hyper-V VMs that can be replicated and have some sort of a hot failover for everything on-prem. But then to see them be able to also have a on-prem VM that now can do a hot failover with Azure, that's a killer DR story now, because I mean, you're not paying for it if you're not using it, and being able to not have to have all that hardware and everything kind of sit idly by and quiet and dark and not being used on-prem, but to instead leverage it in the cloud. And, some people may say, I talked to somebody about this last week, and they said, yeah, but, one of the reasons we have our VMs on-prem is for performance, and we don't have to go across the WAN. It's like, yeah, but if they go down, if there's an outage, which you have to plan for there being an outage, would you rather it be a full dark outage, or would you rather it be just, hey, we're everything's running just fine, if things are a little bit slow because we're having to go across the WAN while we stand everything back up on-prem? And that's a killer offering for a business.
Yeah, no, definitely. And same, you know, so the store simple pieces, you know, same kind of deal, but with files and you know, local storage. You get the speed and nice to have aspects of it because it's a local storage array, but behind the scenes it's managing sort of this cloud storage and the ability to push old stuff up to the cloud and just sort of infinitely expand it. You don't have to worry about going and adding a whole other, you know, set of drives eventually.
Yeah, very cool. Okay, we could definitely keep going on and on about the Azure news because they were Microsoft was quite active on the blotter about sharing a bunch of new stuff on Azure. But let me just throw you a few other things out there because we want to move on to another big bit of news that came out. I think it was earlier this week. So first we had they also announced some pricing information, different sizes and regions are available for their Redis cache service. Redis is an open source technology for caching. There's another existing caching infrastructure that Microsoft has offered with Azure that is actually being decommissioned. I can't remember exactly when. It's coming up in a few months. So companies are going to and customers are going to want to transition over to Redis or one of the other caching options. Another thing they did too is around the Express Route option. This is where you're able to sign up with a telco, and instead of you going across the WAN to get to your assets in Azure, you can actually work have a dedicated connection, a high-speed connection, straight to one of the data centers. There were already three locations in the U.S. and Europe, but Microsoft announced at WPC that through a partnership with a company called, I hope I don't mispronounce this too bad, but Equinix, they're offering an additional 6 locations around the world with their partnership there. So people have more options in connecting direct into Azure if they want to take extreme advantage of it. And then the last bit of Azure news is that at Build last year, or the last Build, I guess it was this year in April, Microsoft announced a new management portal around this concept of Blades and Tile-y stuff and everything. It's a very cool and innovative dashboard. They have made a lot of improvements to it to where now we can actually work with Azure SQL databases. They've also done a lot of updates around the IaaS or VM image gallery, a bunch of additional offerings there. Again, SharePoint's one of them. They also introduced the concept of resource groups that was demoed at the Build conference back in April. And most importantly, too, at least for me, is that they are now supporting and having the ability to manage IaaS assets inside of the new portal. So that's things like being able to create VMs using the new portal, being able to create virtual networks and stuff like that, and VPNs and stuff in the new portal. So that's all very cool, very additional Azure-related news that we wanted to cover in this episode.
Yeah, let's link off to all of that stuff in the show notes so people can go read more.
Absolutely. And then there's another thing that came out of, I was going to say your team. It might be your team, but you know, it's a big thing that came out with Microsoft that I wanted you to kind of comment on before we kind of both talked about it together. And that was around this new unified technology event that's coming up in Chicago next May.
Yes. May the 4th be with you.
We need to come up. We need to have something special for that one.
Hey, it matches our Cloud Wars theme tune, right? So,
absolutely,
that's pretty cool.
If you see two people walking around the convention hall on the first day with like a Darth Vader and a Star Wars costume,
it'll be me and you.
And we have a microphone and we'd like to talk to you. It might be us.
Excellent. I want to be Darth. Just saying.
I want to be a stormtrooper.
I thought you'd be Princess Leia.
Well, I got to get back in shape again a little bit. I want a stormtrooper. I've always wanted an authentic stormtrooper costume. What is it called? The 101st Battalion? Is that what it is?
I don't know. The white one? I mean, kidding. Yeah. Hey, no, so yeah. In seriousness, so this is partially led by the Office 365 team, but there's obviously a whole lot of other groups involved all the way across Microsoft. So it's not just our team that are doing this, but it might look a little bit like that, given the new conference will replace the SharePoint conference, the Link conference, the Exchange conference, and the Project conference, which come sort of under the Office 365 umbrella, so to speak. But it doesn't just involve those conferences. It also includes TechEd North America as well. So, you know, that having four independent conferences just for products that wrapped up under Office 365 was kind of a little crazy. And so this new unified technology event for enterprises, which, caveat, that's not going to be the final name. I know there's lots of FUD flying around about, like, really, Microsoft, that's your name? That's... You're going to put that on the outside of the box. If you go read Julia White's blog post that we will link to in the show notes, she mentions that, you know, branding and naming and all that sort of stuff are not final, and we'll hear more about that soon.
I tell you, this is, to be clear, for everybody that's listening to this, those other conferences that CJ mentioned, and this is the way that I understand it, and Chris, and CJ, correct me if I'm misunderstanding it, but. You know, if you went to the SharePoint conference before, if you went to the Project conference, if you went to TechEd, if you went to Link conference, if you went to any of those conferences, they don't exist anymore. That it Correct. Is now one conference in Chicago. It's going to be, I'd expect it to be absolutely massive, probably 25,000 people. But I mean, it's one show that everybody goes to. This has been so long overdue, and it makes so much sense to just have one show that does all this, even if it's absolutely massive.
Yeah, and you know, and that's the... No, you're right. So those conferences will no longer run. We won't have another SharePoint conference, which, you know, makes me sad in one regard, but like you say, it makes complete sense. At least it certainly does to us, and I totally agree with you on that. But I think that the whole point here is that when you're working in the cloud and when you're working across these things, one product doesn't make any sense anymore. And, you know, you go do a 365 deployment and you're talking about mail and you're talking about files and all those different things. And so you need one place where you can pick and choose what you want to learn about across technologies instead of in a more of a scenario or a solution oriented approach as opposed to just product silos.
I love the move. I love the fact that it's in Chicago. I love the fact that we're leaving Vegas and we actually get a new place we get to go to. Another clarification, it doesn't affect conferences like Build. So like Build still is, Microsoft has said that Build is still, you know, going to happen. It's not the core developer thing for like Windows and the platform kind of stuff, but it's all about, I guess if you can think Office, it's anything that was related to like the Office brand, which it makes sense. These products are so intertwined now, it doesn't really make sense to have individual conferences.
Correct. Yeah. Well, that's the idea.
Yeah.
So yeah, May the 4th next year, and it's going to be in Chicago. So that's going to be a new location for. At least for any of the big Microsoft conferences, I don't think I've been to one there before, so I'm looking forward to that. It's the home of Intelligentsia Coffee, which is my favorite coffee as well. So,
no kidding.
Yeah, it's gonna be great.
You ever had Blue Mountain from Jamaica?
No.
Oh, that's the best. Getting it in the U.S. is like $40 for a 1 pound bag. So if you
Price
never
know, an option. Perfect. No. I'm gonna try it.
Oh, it's good coffee is worth it, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's like good whiskey.
Yeah, there's no end to the price you want to pay for that. So yeah, absolutely. So Chicago. So we'll hopefully see a bunch of our listeners there. Maybe we should do like a little sort of Microsoft Cloud Show meetup or something.
Oh, we absolutely should. And yeah, it's also during hockey season, so everybody will be kind of jockeying for getting ready for the postseason and everything.
It's going to be a massive conference. It's going to be a lot of people around. So my advice to people is that when more news about it comes out, jump on booking because I suspect it's going to be really popular.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Cool stuff.
Yeah.
Well, that's quite a full show that we had here. So I guess what we'll do is we'll pick it up again next week. I know we're both kind of jostling still with vacations and stuff, so it's becoming a bit of a challenge to make sure that we can sync up every week and get shows recorded. But I think we got a pretty good plan for the next few weeks, so we shouldn't miss another week like we did last week. We thought that if we tried it last week, we would have been just throwing something together, which is not we don't want to do that. The quality would just kind of suck on that side. Well, hey, the quality of this might not be as good as we think it is.
But yeah, I guess apologies for missing last week to all of our listeners. I had best intentions of recording while I was at WPC, but the week rapidly got away on me and I couldn't manage to pull it together before flying to New Zealand. So apologies for that.
Yeah, I had poor bandwidth and I couldn't go through and step away. I would have been trying to record in a rental house with 14 people, five of them being under the age of 10. So that would have been one hell of a noise reduction process of trying to actually make that work. So I wasn't about to try that.
Not particularly productive.
No, not at all.
Awesome. Well, thanks, AC.
Cool. Good time, man.
Cheers.
If you have a question for us, go to microsoftcloudshow.com/questions, where you can submit it as text. We'll record it as a WAV or an MP3 file and provide a link so that we can play your question on the show. You can subscribe to us in iTunes by searching for the Microsoft Cloud Show or via RSS at microsoftcloudshow.com, where you'll also find a full transcript and show notes of each episode. You can find us on Facebook searching for the Microsoft Cloud Show or on Twitter at MS Cloud Show. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.